This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Israel says one of the bodies just handed over by Hamas is not a hostage.
Israel is accusing Hamas of violating the Gaza ceasefire by moving too slowly to release the remains of deceased hostages. Israel is now threatening to reduce aid flowing into Gaza by half.
ABC's Stephanie Ramos, of the 28 bodies Hamas has been holding, only 7 have been returned. Hamas says it's a challenge to recover all the remains given the near total destruction of Gaza. Israel's prime minister says he has a cold and is skipping his corruption trial today, during which he was to be cross-examined. Homeland Secretary Kristi Noem's video to air travelers blames Democrats for the government shutdown. It's unclear this morning if any airports are running that video. Chicagoans got tear-gassed by federal agents when protesters gathered at the scene of a crash between the agents and a man fleeing arrest. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The annual harvest dinner and auction to support Boscobel Mobile Pack for Feed My Starving Children will be held Saturday at Boscobel Bowl and Banquet. There will be many great items to bid on. Bruce Pitsley is with Boscobel Mobile Pack and an organizer of the event.
In the past, we've had everything from apples to baby goats donated and everything in between. This year, we have a lot of quality handcrafted wood items already. We've got some beautiful quilts that have been donated, some meat bundles, firewood. And the past 2 years, we've had an anonymous donor donate over 70 brand new items. And she's going to do that again this year. Some of those items are small electronics, vacuum cleaners, air fryers, air grills, solar phone chargers, beauty care products. There's so many items that there's too many to mention. So we're looking forward to seeing those items show up again, and it'll be a great night.
Bruce Pitsley says that along with the meal, there will be various activities at the fundraiser.
This year, our meal will be smoked pulled pork sandwiches, cheesy potatoes, coleslaw, and beans, and we are having dessert also. We also have silent auction, live auction, and we're also doing card raffles. We're going to have 2 card raffle items. One of them is a really nice Blackstone griddle with a cover, and we'll be selling chances for that, $10 per card, and we'll sell a deck of cards that way, and we'll have another item also, which is yet to be determined, and those items are being anonymously donated also.
Auction preview and social time will begin at 5. The dinner will be served at 6, and the live auction will begin at 7. If you are interested in making a donation, quality items can be dropped off at Boscobel Bowl and Banquet from 4 to 8 on either Thursday or Friday. Baked goods are also welcome. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Dodgers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Dodgers winning Game 2 of the National League Championship Series 5-1 over the Brewers. L.A. now up 2-0 in the best-of-7 series. So what's the solution? The Brewers' Christian Yelich.
Yeah, I mean, we just got to play better. It's not an ideal start to the series by any means. Like, it's not what you want to get off to, but just got to continue to battle and find a way to get the offense going. You know, I got to be better. We got to be better. Just facts, you know? So fly out tonight, take the off day tomorrow, and be ready to battle in Game 3.
Game 3 tomorrow night in L.A. at 5:08. NFL, the Packers trying to figure out why they've given up 60 points in the fourth quarter in just the first 5 games of the season.
We're just like, why is that happening? Are we running out of gas? They got the ball to start the second half. They go on that 18-play drive or whatever it was. I mean, ate up or 10 minutes off the clock. I don't know. Does that gas you out?
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some lingering showers in the morning, otherwise cloudy and cool with a high of 57. For tonight, a few isolated showers possible after midnight, lows in the upper 40s. On Thursday, again, a few isolated showers possible. A little bit warmer, highs in the upper 60s. Right now, it's 47.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Todd Albaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody,
yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book mm-hmm. instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by UW political science professor Barry Burton and Professor Charles Franklin, the pollster from MU Law School. We discuss the shifts in Trump's approval ratings and the divide within Dems. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning, 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north. Wednesday morning now, October 15th, 2025. Already halfway through the month of October here, and temperatures ranging from a low of a 43 in Anago and Eagle River to 54 down in southeast Wisconsin. It is 46 right now in Wausau and in Rapids, 48 in La Crosse, 46 in the Chippewa Valley, 52 in Madison right now. And again, nice to have you along. Ellie Bordeaux, Up North News newsletter editor, is going to be joining us in just a bit here. Then at the bottom of the hour, we'll be talking to State Senator Chris Larson. We originally booked him to talk about his bill that would increase taxpayer transparency for the voucher school program. But there was also a rather contentious debate in the State Senate yesterday about a resolution honoring Charlie Kirk, to the point where Senator Larson's microphone got cut off by the Senate president because she did not like the things that Senator Larson was saying about Charlie Kirk's, you know, life and record. And so I'm sure we'll talk to the senator about that as well. That and so much more still ahead. And first, I've got to acknowledge a few things in the mailbag here on the text line. Dave in New Berlin first said that he just got into work and he missed the history lesson from last hour. He is very unhappy about that. And says, talk about Brewers baseball, which we don't want to do, Dave. The team did not look good, Parker. The team.
I wonder if that's a command telling us to talk about Brewer baseball because he missed us talking about it earlier, or he's like, ugh, talk about Brewer baseball.
I wondered if it might be that. Yeah, you can often read the tone. And then he has a classic follow-up. Talk about Dave from New Berlin. He likes to hear his name on the radio. Well played, Dave from New Berlin.
Fair enough.
You are there. So thank you for that. And the Brewers lose 5-1. They're down 2-0. The series heads to Los Angeles now, and they will play tomorrow. Oops, I got to fix that banner on the screen here on social media. That's actually game 3 that will be played tomorrow. I wish we could do a do-over for game 2, but it's actually game 3. Tomorrow coverage starts at 4:30 on several civic media stations. And so there you go. Hopefully the Dodgers have run out of good starting pitchers. I know. I'm laughing. They've got a $500 million payroll. The odds are kind of against that.
I was just thinking Clayton Kershaw about that, too.
Let's see. Also in the comment sections from YouTube, from Rob, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 46 degrees. Had about a third of an inch of rain overnight. Has a doctor's appointment in Shawano, then getting his papers faxed over for the state. Right. We did need the rain. It was very welcome. It seems the Brewer bats always cool off in their NLCS appearances. Yeah, true that. And then also wants to make note that Ellie does an excellent job with the newsletter. I get them. It is very informative. So we got to pass that on to Ellie in a moment here. And Tony finally reminds us, the Brewers won 14 straight games this year. They can do four in a row yet here in the playoffs. Thank you, Tony. We needed to hear that. So, all right, well, let's bring in Ellie Bordeaux, newsletter editor for Up North News. You can sign up for the newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Ellie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys?
We're good. Thank you. And I was looking at today's newsletter. I see that you included, first I saw the photo of you and your boyfriend Jaisal at a Brewer game. And I thought, were you at the playoff game last night? And then had to do the newsletter that goes out at 6 a.m. and then radio at 7 a.m. And then, of course, I read the caption and it's from a game that you guys went to in April, but still.
Yeah, no, we were not at the game last night. That would have been a little bit of a late night, but I know a lot of people that were, and a little disappointing for sure. But
yeah, do you know one of my one of the things I hoped to do this year was I noticed they do a lot of crowd shots when you're covering baseball games, and that's fine. And I know enough people who are always talking about going to the Brewers games that I was like making it a point this year in the crowd shots. I wanted to be able to say, I know that person, you know, might've been Joe Zepecki or maybe Parker using the radio station tickets or something, Luke Mathers, other friends who've gone to games. And I was 0-for this season. I did not see in the crowd shots, but I will continue to watch because I firmly believe the series is coming back to Milwaukee for game 6 next Monday. And we'll be checking out the crowd. Then maybe one of you two will be getting to game 6 tickets between now and then.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, right after you rob that bank. Yeah, exactly. So Ellie makes mention of, you know, how nice it is to go to the ballpark and see a game. And then, you know, gets into all kinds of other things like must-see attractions in Wisconsin. There's a few different examples of that lately, Ellie, because people really seem to like to visit Wisconsin in the fall.
Yeah, this is true. There are a ton of things on this list: Devil's Lake State Park, the Apostle Islands, the Wisconsin Dells, House on the Rock, Tully Hessen, all those kinds of things. I think those are super cool attractions. Some of the things I haven't even been to yet, and they're on my Wisconsin bucket list, and I've lived here my whole life, you know? So make sure you go visit those. I think the list that they have on here is a pretty good compiling of.
Oh, I mean, it includes Door County. It includes Lambeau Field. And frankly, I hadn't been to Door County until last year. My wife grew up in Manitowoc County. She'd never been to Door County until last year. And we went for a drive around it and said, we definitely have to spend a weekend here one of these times. So yeah, there's always something for everybody to discover in some way, shape or form. And we've done that with a few things here. We've you had a story recently about fall cabin getaways. Again, there's all kinds of things that people study about types of travel.
Right. Yeah. Wisconsin is definitely, I think, something that people don't necessarily always look out for, but it always ends up on the list, you know, like in one way or another. So this list is from Texas Real Estate Source. They did a survey of, I think, like 3,000 people and asked, where would you want to have a cabin in the fall? And Wisconsin made the list 3 times. And yeah, I mean, Wisconsin, I think Wisconsin in the fall is the best season. And especially up north, like you get to see all the fall colors. There are beautiful drives. There are beautiful lookout points. Like you just can't beat it. So,
and the thing is, we're not quite there yet. Folks watching us on social media will notice that I put up a new photo of Lake Wissota taken day before. And we don't have the morning fog in there, but you also notice the trees haven't really changed yet. There's some hints of yellow out there, but not much. And I think because we had plenty rain this summer that it's taking a while for the leaves to change. And so my message to everybody else is, if you think you missed it up north, you haven't. Plan a weekend, come on up here and get around.
Totally. Yeah, there's still a lot of green going on, even in like central Wisconsin where I am. There's still a lot of green, so there's I don't think it has even reached its peak yet, so definitely go up north and check it out.
Yeah. And then there's some news stories being covered in here as well. It's not all about travel and events. For example, we had a story this week on Port Washington getting set to break ground on an AI data center project, but residents are trying to fight back. And the story there by one of our freelance writers explains some of the issues that are at stake in this project.
Yeah, there's been a lot of pushback on that in Port Washington. And I know there's some other data plants that have been talked about being proposed that have received pushback as well. So this story goes into that. It's a really great description of what's going on. What does it mean for that city? What does it mean for Wisconsin? What does the data center do? Those kinds of things. So it's really informative and lets you know what is this? Why is this important? Why is this relevant to me? And all that sort of stuff.
We're talking to Ellie Bardot, who does the newsletter for Up North News now. And how did you, how would you gauge the response when you asked people to send in, you know, some kind words and photos of their favorite small businesses in some of their hometowns?
I have gotten a ton of great responses. It's when I do my Locals Love section on Fridays, it's sometimes hard to pick what to feature, you know, because I get so many great responses and there's so many things I want to highlight. And I definitely, if you send them in, I will get to them, you know. But people love their towns. People love their small businesses, just absolutely raving about boutiques, different shops, different wineries, cafes, all that kind of stuff. So I love hearing those types of things. And it also selfishly is things that I can check out, you know, and show right. other people that live in that area like, oh, you should go check this out. People really like this. So I asked on Friday for people to send in their favorite pizza spots. And so hopefully I get some good responses there. Because
I was going to say, you're getting some good answers there, I'll bet, for this coming Friday's issue.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm getting a lot of good responses for sure. And again, it's a little... It's nice for me because then I'm like, oh, when I'm in this area, oh, I can go absolutely. Check this place out, you know?
Yes. Well, we could set up pizza tours, like, you know, for a weekend, go spend this place on Friday, this place Saturday, this place Sunday, and go try the pizzas in all these places. And then the next right. weekend, go to this part of the state and do the pizzas, yes. you know, here, here, and here. We've done that on the radio a couple of times here where we've asked people to just put in the comment sections their favorite, you know, non-chain pizza places, and the comment section fills right up. And so I don't doubt that you're getting responses for that, for pizza. And so then will you at that point kind of just go back to small businesses in general? You just want to see something specific like pizza about the response, or do you have other categories that you're looking at doing for your Locals Love section on Fridays?
Yeah, we're going to do a different category every Friday. So every Friday, I'm going to ask for something a little bit different. This week was pizza. Next week, I'm not sure. You'll have to stay tuned and find out. But yeah, we'll check out something different every week. And it is a great way to highlight different small businesses around the state and get people going to those spots. So it's really great.
And of course, we've right away started on the text line. Dave in New Berlin is nominating Crossroads 2 in, believe it or not, New Berlin.
Noted.
Dave's a local, so yeah, we thought since he was the first one to throw something in this morning, we'd give a shout out to the folks at Crossroads Pizza as well. And by the way, I'm glad that you asked not just for people to talk about their favorite business or pizza place, but to send the photos in as well. There's something we don't do now, but we did when the newsletter first started 5 years ago, was ask people just to send in like weather pics. And that way we would have, you know, user generated content. That's one of the buzzwords of the industry there. Mm-hmm. And we would get inundated with photos of people that wanted to show, you know, the field across from their house or the lake or, you know, the birds up in the trees or whatever that shows things off. And I think people genuinely enjoy sending photos in of things around their community, whether it's their favorite business or things like that. So I'm glad to see you're getting a good response to that.
Yeah, definitely. I love getting photos in too. And I also especially wanted people to tell me, why is it your favorite? What makes it so great? You know, is it the service? Is it the people? Is it the pizza? What is it? You know, so I love getting photos and I love getting all those responses. So it's really great.
It is. The only downside is that sending photos is still a little iffy. And I mean, sometimes the photos come through as normal size photos and right. sometimes they don't. You know, they adjust the file size or something, and you've got these photos that if you tried to look at them on your screen, the pictures are this big. Right. And then you get some other photos where it's like, you need to squint like this. It's a little tiny postage stamp that they sent in.
Right. Like and this big and all pixelated.
It's like, you really want to use the photo. And so I send this note back like, can you send it at a different file size? Oh no, I don't even ask anymore. That just opens a whole can of worms. But
right.
do feel free to try to send your photos yes. in. Send them in to us, respond to the newsletter, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Ellie Bardot, thank you so much. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. All right. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will be talking to State Senator Chris Larson about the Charlie Kirk resolution debate yesterday and taxpayer transparency for voucher schools. Live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area,
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian, Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids' meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children,
right,
so I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like a Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like 6 tacos, nachos, Bel Grande, and I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Joining us from City Utilities, Scott Gall, Utility Manager, and Jim Schwingle joins us again from he's Energy Services Manager. We're going to talk about some public power, what it means, and a big event coming up tomorrow. Scott, this is something that I know you guys look forward to about educating the public and just kind of having a celebration tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, I think this is our fifth annual. We did the first year right at City Hall. We got really lucky. It was great weather. And we moved it to the community center, so it'll be tomorrow night, 3:30 to 6:30. We'll be cooking for you for utility customers. Just looking forward to having folks come out. Jim's going to talk about it, but just educating our customers on, you know, things they can do, improve on energy efficiencies, water, wastewater, you know, the whole utility, some giveaways, and just it's been a really good event, and the numbers have grown annually, so.
Do you cook with electricity, or do you cook with gas?
We do cook with electricity.
We do,
yeah,
all right.
You know, Craig down at the locker helps us out, and we got to keep those roasters warm of the chicken and the pork that we'll be serving tomorrow night.
Oh, so, man, good food.
Yes,
so
very
that's
good
for all of your customers.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And some things, what are some things that we can do to maybe cut back on power?
I think, you know, you see a lot of it when it's really hot as far as where we keep the thermostats, right? There's initiatives at WPPI on, and you see it within the co-op world of controlling the thermostats, but it's just keeping that, you know, up at 78, 70, you know, a lot, not 68, which I like to keep it at, but just keep it a little bit there. LEDs obviously have taken over. It's a weird... industry, right? We're in the business to sell kilowatt hours, but we have Jim to help energy and save power. So that's what we're about. And that's really kicked in. LEDs in the last 5 to 10 years have taken over, and pretty much everybody's converted there. Just all those little chargers you leave plugged in, remember that they are consuming, you know, power, and unplug things that you don't use every day.
It all adds up, doesn't it?
It does. It all adds up.
I remember years ago, we had this old freezer, and we were using that and thinking that this is the greatest thing, and we unplugged it, and the bill went down like $30 a month.
Yep. Dehumidifiers are another one, you know, but freezers, compressors, any of those kind of things will really add up over time for sure.
Some of those old ones ran forever, but they weren't quite as efficient.
Not as efficient as today, no. Right.
Good to see you, Jim. Good to have you back in the studio.
Morning, Phil.
And you're here to talk about kind of what public power is, and you know, maybe you could go over that for us again.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we've been having this event, like Scott said, for about 5 years, and this is called Public Power Week, and that's designated by the American Public Power Association. So there's about 2,000 public power utilities in the United States, and you know what we want people to understand is that those utilities and city utilities specifically are owned by their communities. So City of Richland Center owns city utilities, and you know, since it is owned by the city, by the people, it's a non-for-profit. So, you know, if you have a typical business, you know, your goal is profit. Well, that's not really what ours is. We have to make enough money to keep going to pay for the infrastructure and the employees and the equipment. But, you know, in reality, our goal is customer satisfaction. And there's a few things that go into that, or lots of things, really. But, you know, we want to provide reliable energy. And to do that, you have to have a good distribution system, which city utilities has. You know, we've got linemen out there working on this stuff every day. And you want to be trustworthy. You want your customers to trust what you're doing that is in their best interest. And then, you know, ultimately, you want to keep costs affordable. And, you know, it's a really big balancing act, you know, to try and do all three of those things, but we really think that we're doing that here at City Utilities.
Everything has gone up in price. What about power? Are you seeing that? And what are some things that you can do to keep the cost down at your end?
Yeah, so electricity costs are going up. I mean, it's going up on a local level. You know, ask Scott how much a transformer costs now compared to 5 years ago. It's way different.
Five times.
More. Yeah, I mean, we've got transformers that for our bigger customers that it cost us $32,000 at the time, 7, 8 years ago. They were quoting out just after COVID $180,000 for the bigger transformers for the industrial loads. Just normal residential ones have went from, you know, $1,500 to $1,800 to $4,000 or $5,000, you know, just that are setting on the back lot lines. So it's just crazy. There's, you know, limited supply. What goes into those transformers are some of the same metals that with the EV cars and batteries. So everybody's fighting over the same materials, which have drove the cost through the roof.
I see. What's the lifespan on a transformer?
You know, we've got some transformers out there from the 60s. So, you know, again, they say that some of those built years ago were built a lot different than they are today and built a lot more solid. So with what we're doing with our AMI conversion, we're actually able to, it's called a transformer loading tool, and we can see if our transformers, once we get all the data put in, if they're overloaded, you know, and what kind of, what they're doing, what the health of those transformers are. Because right now we would have to put different meters on each individual circuit to be able to tell the load that transformer is getting. But with our conversion to AMI meters, we'll be able to pull some of that data to help understand all of our transformers out there and maybe extend the life and get more money out of them, right? Mm-hmm. And more life out of them.
Or troubleshoot, and you know, if something's going to be going bad, you can be kind of nip it in the bud.
So that's right. Then. That's right.
Absolutely. Looking at some things going on tomorrow night, Jim, it's a good opportunity to meet with customers, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So what kind of happens is Angie Edwards from the office will be there to greet you when you come in to the community center, and and she'll be handing out little punch cards. And the idea is that you go to the different booths, and we'll have several, lots of safety booths, and get a stamp on your card.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
107.7 WRCE, News from the Center, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
So over the past 30 days, there's been 42 confirmed flocks of birds and one livestock operation that have all been impacted by high-path avian influenza. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. So the message of biosecurity on all farms is critical at this time of the year. Danielle Biddick-Weedel is a veterinarian herself and owner of Preventalytics. She says that biosecurity is something that you should consider an investment for your overall farm health.
I always say biosecurity is kind of like an insurance plan. It's really hard to measure if it's working, because if disease isn't there, you want to attribute, you know, your farm animal care program that's administered through the National Milk Producers Federation works on a lot of things, just basic animal care things, clean water, clean bedding, good nutrition, having a herd health program, having a veterinarian of record. Having a vaccination plan, a deworming plan, all those are kind of the foundations for biosecurity. And those are investments producers make.
Danielle Biddick-Weedel, vet and owner of Preventalytics, encourages all farms to take a look at their biosecurity plan. If you've got questions, reach out to your co-ops or other industry leaders and find out what they can do to assist you. Also, make sure you're minimizing farm cross-contamination, trying to move cattle less, especially during the winter. And if there's people around your farming operation, make sure they're entering clean and thinking about your biosecurity plan as well. Markets are next.
What a win!
That's how you finish a season.
Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn dominated DeKalb SmartStax and VT4 Pro.
An average 7.1 bushels per acre yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
Plus, all that corn rootworm protection and herbicide flexibility.
That's a dream team.
That's Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn. In it to win it.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Tuesday, the 40-pound block cheese was up 3¾ cents at 170¾. AA butter up 2 at 164. December corn this morning down a penny at 412. November beans right now unchanged, 1007. July wheat up a penny at 542. I'm PM Yonke.
107.7 WRCE, News from the Center.
And home to Matt and Air on Air weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some lingering showers in the morning, otherwise cloudy and cool with a high of 57. For tonight, a few isolated showers possible after midnight, lows in the upper 40s. On Thursday, again, a few isolated showers possible. A little bit warmer, highs in the upper 60s. It's 48 degrees at our studios.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Don't often agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They asked her about Congress being shut down and how it related to the Epstein files.
Why drag this out? That is going to have 218 signatures. I say go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Trig me. She's not necessarily my cup of tea, but she reads tea leaves. I think her moving to where she's at says that when that vote happens, there are going to be a major dam break, and it's a problem.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekday. 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Bob Kennedy Jr. says that circumcision could be linked to autism via Tylenol. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Coming up later across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network, we've got some more great talk shows, and they've got some great guests to tell you about as well. Let's see, Matinair on Air follows us from 9 to 11, and Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be joining Jane Matinair and Greg Bach coming up at 9:35 this morning. Todd Alba's show from 2 until 4 is live from the Majestic Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of the movie No Packers, No Life. So you're not going to want to miss that coming up today on Todd's show. And then Maggie Dawn from 4 until 6. One of her guests includes Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette of the Marquette University Law School Poll, the Marquette Poll. We'll be talking about that with Maggie Dawn. Again, all that and more. And if you want more information on anything that's happening on the Civic Media Radio Network, you should get their daily newsletter. Head over to Substack, civicmediatoday.substack.com. Always great to welcome back to the program State Senator Chris Larson from the Milwaukee area here in our weekly homeroom segment, where we will be talking about school voucher taxpayer transparency, but then a few other things that are coming up as part of the legislature's fall session as well. Senator Chris Larson, good morning. How are you?
Good. Good to see you, Pat. Happy to be on. I'd be doing a little bit better if our Brewers were able to light the bats up yesterday.
Amen to that. Yep. We got to solve that starting pitching problem for them. And hopefully, the bats can wake up in time and get the series back to Milwaukee for a raucous game six. Things were a little raucous on the floor of the state Senate yesterday, where I served many moons ago. And I'm certainly familiar with how floor debate can go on things that might have a bit of a partisan split. And it's unfortunate that we have a partisan split when talking about Charlie Kirk, because we can all denounce political violence in its many forms. But there should also be something said for being able to denounce, things that a murder victim may have said in their life. And you and others were... big loud noise there. Somebody was scratching the microphone or something. Anyway, we had people that, like yourself, that were trying to tell a more complete version of Charlie Kirk's life because of the debate over this resolution honoring him on what would have been their 32nd birthday. And at one point, Senate President Mary Felskowski just cut your mic off. Tell folks what it is that you were saying and why you were interrupted that way.
Yeah, so we, this I think this was thrown on there specifically to try and give a nod to not just to be able to say the life and legacy and to grieve, which is important, right? And to condemn political violence, because this did not condemn political violence, which we saw as a huge glaring omission. And so two senators spoke before me, Senator Drake and Senator Johnson, spoke very well, highlighting the career of Charlie Kirk that was steeped in white supremacy and of trying to create white men as being victims in our society, which has created so many of the problems that we have. And so they pointed out specific quotes, and I think that kind of increased the temperature of the room. And I wanted to talk specifically about political violence of the nature that's being carried out by our federal government right now under the direction of Donald Trump. And so I think I built a crescendo to the point where they were not wanting to hear any of what Trump had done. And, this kind of goes to what I think a lot of people realize, which is Republicans don't want to hear about it. They kind of have you have a picture of somebody with their hands over their ears and their eyes shut. Because if they know about it, then they have to do something about it or say something about it. So it's pointing out the violence where you have masked men who are coming in and taking people in the dead of night without warrants, where just south of us in Chicago, they are rappelling down on Black Hawk helicopters and zip tying kids in the streets, where they shot a pastor, David Black, in the head with pepper balls, who was simply praying outside of an ICE facility. You have a reporter who was detained under false pretenses. So this is continuing to happen in America. And so if we are going to be denouncing, if they're refusing to denounce violence writ large, this is all included in that. I think that that's something that they should all have to answer for. In the midst of it, they decided to grab the shut off the mic because they didn't want to hear all of this. The debate was concluded. So I find it very ironic, considering part of what they were trying to say was that he was that Charlie Kirk was somebody who believed in the First Amendment and the ability to be able to talk through your problems. And at that moment, that's when they cut off my mic and they cut off the debate for anybody to be able to speak. And they did a parliamentary procedure where it's called calling the question, something you're familiar with, Pat. Which means that everything has to shut down and no one else is allowed to talk anymore. So it's really the latest in a series of sad moments for our democracy and free speech.
Well, it gets to the whole notion of, before we were talking about DEI, we were talking about CRT, critical race theory, and, the more complete telling of our history in this country. So I'm not really surprised to hear that folks also did not want to hear a more complete telling of the history of Charlie Kirk. You can still be very much opposed to political violence, but again, the deification of Charlie Kirk stops right here. We're talking to Senator Chris Larson, Democrat from Milwaukee. And that was some of yesterday's action on the state Senate floor. Let's get to something that probably will not see action on the state Senate floor, but should. And it is the ongoing work that you and others are doing to try to help taxpayers understand the burgeoning, the exploding cost of taxpayer-supported vouchers for families to send their kids to private, usually religious schools. And I always have to set it up this way. I'm not saying that we're opposed to private schools. Sure. Not at all. You want to go? Go. But asking all the taxpayers of Wisconsin to help pay for it when we're already paying for a school system, that's a totally different thing. And Senator, what do you have in your bill there that would make things more transparent to taxpayers?
Yeah. Well, it's important to recognize that these things are built on an unequal playing field. And it was 30 years ago now, Pat, that the voucher system came to be. And this was supposed to be as a limited experiment. And the justification was the competition, the free market competition, was going to improve public schools and provide these opportunities for low-income kids. Since then, that claim has not been uttered in over a decade. They scrapped that. They eliminated the idea that this was going to be limited very early on. They also increased the income eligibility to triple it. And one of the things that they did is they made it so that it is in a single year. By the way, the cost now is about $700 million per year with no strings attached. And so this is attaching those strings. And going back to the original heart of what they were meant to do. One of the big ones that we're going to be introducing is about eligibility, that if you are, if you would like to have this taxpayer-funded private education, then you have to meet the income eligibility every single year. I think a lot of people might not realize that if it's 1 year you qualify, that the child is in, they can have their entire career funded by taxpayers. So we will have income eligibility every single year. One of the other things that's unique about the voucher program is that the teachers and the educators and the administrators do not have to be certified in the roles that they're in, which is a big loophole. So we have a bill that would correct for that, to make sure that teachers are teachers, administrators are administrators, and principals are principals, not just somebody grabbing a group of friends and putting together a scam school, which is a majority of the schools when this thing first started. They fell by the wayside. Another one is to make sure that there's a big loophole that allows for virtual schools. This is where they don't have a physical presence and can be accepted from across the entire state. Actually, last year, $65 million went to these virtual schools with no footprint and are siphoning dollars from places across the state. So this is trying to make sure that you have to at least have a physical presence within the state and curtail that profiteering model. So we have a number of other things that would do this, making sure that there's an automatic increase when vouchers get an increase. Right now, the opposite is true. Whenever there's an increase for public school funding, private schools automatically get an increase. We'd also make sure that money follows the kid. This would stop the practice where private schools are kicking kids out after the count day. There's this 2 census days, and I keep hearing report. I heard another one on Monday from a school worker who is retired. He's saying, oh yeah, with the week after the kids come back, the kids are coming in from these private schools and the money never follows them. Anti-discrimination, private schools taking public dollars should not be allowed to discriminate. Should not be allowed to kick out kids based off of gender, based off of sexual orientation, or based off religious orientation. And what? A lot of that is happening. They can discriminate for whatever reason. Students with disabilities, the teachers are not required, as public schools are, to follow their individualized education program to make sure that they're actually getting the tools that they need. So this levels the playing field all across the board. To make sure that a lot of the promises that have been made about the voucher program are actually in law and not just a pinky swear.
We are talking to State Senator Chris Larson from Milwaukee. And one other aspect that might not be in this package, but again, I feel is necessary to bring up, are enrollment caps. Because enrollment caps, you know, putting a cap on enrollment for these vouchers for eligibility is what's kept the growth from exploding. And those caps, if I'm not mistaken, come off in the, not this school year, but maybe the next school year. And if that actually happens, I mean, $700 million now, who knows how they're going to blow the barn doors off the state budget if that happens. Is there a move afoot as well to at least try to get Republicans on the record of voting on whether to keep those caps in place or let them expire?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, Pat. Yes, that is the caps coming off is a huge explosion we are waiting for. And we put that as an amendment moving forward. We tried to amend it in the budget, and we have an amendment that is being led by Representative Christian Phelps. And so we are trying to make sure that those caps are reinstituted, because you're right. There are schools, private schools, that are looking to do huge expansions based off of this provision to be able to say, okay, we can take all of these kids and keep the ones that we want, keep the easiest to teach ones, and then kick out all the other ones to public schools, which is what is happening and has been happening for 30 years. So we are in danger. So as they're talking about limited dollars at the local level, local schools have to keep going to referendum to try and make up the gap from the state, where they are $3,380 behind where they should be, adjusting for inflation, where we were 18 years ago per student. So they have to make up for it for referendums. It's going to get way worse. Schools will close. More schools will close. They will have to keep going to referendum, and school districts may have to fold unless we have an equal playing field and the state rededicates itself to ensuring every child has a quality education.
State Senator Chris Larson from Milwaukee. We didn't have time to get into it, but there's a Republican package of bills that would lead to more repealing of state regulations. And we did share your comments yesterday about that, about really, can you put a price on clean air or water? So we appreciate that you are following that package as well. And thank you very much for your time this morning on all of these matters. Chris, thanks so much. I hope you have a great day.
Thanks for all you do. Appreciate it, Pat.
All right.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Coming up in our next hour, we'll be talking to Earl Ingram about what's coming up on his What's Going On podcast, and Melissa Baldoff with our climate check, and the chair, the national chair of Protect Our Care, about the government shutdown. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Oral arguments in Louisiana versus Calais are scheduled for October 15th in the U.S. Supreme Court, with interpretation of the 14th and 15th Amendments under debate and the Voting Rights Act in the balance. The 14th Amendment enshrines civil and legal rights of formerly enslaved Americans. Section 1 says in part, "No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States." And in what became known as the Equal Protection Clause, "nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws." The 15th Amendment states, "The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude." But Black, Native, and other minority voters faced another 100 years of discrimination before Congress enforced it with the Voting Rights Act of 1965. President Lyndon Johnson told Congress,
"Our fathers believed that if this noble view of the rights of man was to flourish, it must be rooted in democracy. The most basic right of all was the right to choose your own leaders. The history of this country, in large measure, is the history of expansion of that right to all of our people."
Find a live stream link for the October 15th, 10 a.m. arguments at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, yeah. And it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please, something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
A Richland County death results in criminal charges. Sheriff Clay Porter reports that a criminal complaint has been issued against Judd Allen Frazier, age 56, for the criminal charges of felony murder and felon in possession of a firearm as a result of an ongoing death investigation of an adult male from rural Richland County. On September 29th, deputies with the Richland County Sheriff's Office responded to a medical call in rural Richland County and located an adult male who was deceased at the scene. An investigation was immediately started into the circumstances surrounding the death. Through the course of the investigation, deputies learned of a physical altercation that occurred on September 26 involving the deceased victim. Information gathered from the scene and subsequent investigative efforts led to the criminal charges. Judd Frazier was taken into custody for a Wisconsin Department of Corrections warrant by the Bosque Belle Police Department on October 1st and continues to be confined at the Richland County Sheriff's Office jail. The Richland County Sheriff's Office was assisted with the investigation by Muscadet EMS, Richland County Special Response Team, Richland Center Police Department, Richland County Coroner's Office, Richland Center Fire Department, Richland County District Attorney's Office, Bosque Belle Police Department, and the Dane County Medical Examiner's Office. The University of Wisconsin-Madison and TAE Life Sciences, a biotechnology company specializing in targeted radiation therapy for cancer care, have signed a Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, announcing the intention to launch the first accelerator-based boron neutron capture therapy center in the United States. As part of this collaboration, the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health would install the Alpha Beam Compact Accelerator-based BNCT system developed by TAE Life Sciences. The significant milestone has the potential to pave the way for the adoption of BNCT in the United States. The proposal involves collaboration on research and development of Alpha Beam and novel boron 10 drugs through preclinical and clinical studies on several cancer indications with high unmet need, including brain and head and neck cancers. Wisconsin lawmakers have unveiled a new legislative package aimed at protecting natural resources. Shali Pittman reports.
The package was unveiled on Indigenous Peoples Day. The proposal includes specific protections for Devil's Lake State Park, giving the state attorney general the power to enforce protections and allowing third parties to sue on its behalf. Democrat Vincent Moresi of Stevens Point says it's similar to protections for corporations.
Corporations are merely ideas that exist on paper, yet they have legally recognized rights, even personhood in some cases.
The package also proposes reinstating Wisconsin's Prove It First mining law, which required companies to show that a sulfide mine can operate and be decommissioned without polluting water. The Prove It First law was in place for about two decades before being repealed in 2017. I'm Shali Pittman for Civic Media News.
Average gasoline prices in Wisconsin have fallen 8.6 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.68 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy's survey of over 3,000 stations in Wisconsin. Prices in Wisconsin are 21.2 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and stand 35 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. According to Gas Buddy price reports, the cheapest station in Wisconsin was priced at $2.43 a gallon, while the most expensive was $3.99 a gallon, a difference of $1.56 a gallon. The national average price of gasoline has fallen 6.4 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $3.02 a gallon. The national average is down 13.7 cents per gallon from a month ago and stands 14.4 cents per gallon lower than a year ago, according to Gas Buddy data compiled from more than 11 million weekly price reports covering over 150,000 gas stations across the country. The national average price of diesel has decreased 3.5 cents compared to a week ago and stands at $3.63 per gallon. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said Americans appear to be on the cusp of seeing the national average drop below $3 per gallon for the first time in years, as prices have fallen across the vast majority of the country. He added, with well over 40 states seeing gas prices decline and oil plunging below $60 per barrel to end the week, the good news may not end if and when the national average hits that magical new $2.99 mark. We could even see a handful of stations in places like Oklahoma, Texas, or even Wisconsin drop below $2 per gallon in the weeks ahead, something not seen since the pandemic. In addition, with wages up and gas prices down, Americans are spending the smallest share of their paycheck on gasoline in many years. The president of the Wisconsin Senate will be running for her seat again. 12th District Republican Mary Falskowski says she is not going to run for governor or seek any higher office, adding she came to the decision after months of discussions with her husband and prayerful consideration. The Tomahawk native has represented the North Woods in Madison for more than 10 years and had been seen as a possible Republican candidate for governor, a field that already includes Congressman Tom Tiffany and Washington County Executive Josh Shulman. The partisan primary is next August. Expect noisy skies across Dane County this week as the Air National Guard does training. The 115th Fighter Wing at Truax Field will be running exercises after sunset Tuesday through Thursday. Electric and natural gas customers who need assistance need to do so before the end of the month. If you have outstanding electric and gas utility bills, the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin is encouraging you to make payment arrangements with your provider or apply for financial assistance before the annual winter heating disconnection moratorium begins November 1st. Under state law, utilities can't disconnect essential services to residents during the moratorium. If you are currently disconnected, you'll need to make arrangements to restore service because utilities aren't required to reconnect service until payment arrangements are made. You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot.
Most of our TSA employees are working without pay.
And Homeland Secretary Kristi Noem is hoping airport travelers hear her message of blame.
Democrats in Congress refuse to fund the federal government. And because of this, many of our operations are impacted.
A video for the nation's airports featuring DHS Secretary Kristi Noem blaming Democrats for the gridlock. But major hubs are refusing to play it, citing the video's blatant political message.
ABC's Gio Benitez. Agents tear gassed protesters at a car crash in Chicago. ICE agents chasing an undocumented immigrant who tried to get away.
Residents nearby gathering at the scene. The crowd growing hostile, throwing eggs at federal agents, then rocks. Agents responding by firing tear gas. Several people were arrested.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio, Los Angeles, now issuing a state of emergency to help people who encounter ICE agents. This is ABC News.